Hi, friends, and welcome back to the podcast. I want to let you know that there's a pretty significant trigger warning for this episode. My guest, Hillary Momberger Powers, is nothing short of the most resilient person I've ever met on the planet. But she does discuss child abuse, sexual assault, pornography, and generational trauma. Now, these subjects are beyond difficult. They're heartbreaking, let alone something we don't like to hear about. So if this episode is going to hurt your heart in any way, please do skip this episode. I want to tell you, though, that even though the conversation with her was painful and sometimes really challenging, hearing her spirit now and her voice and how she orients herself to the world, it changed my life. It changed my idea of what humans can go through and how they can sometimes triumph. Hillary herself is nothing short of a miracle. And, you know, I have so much to say about her, including the really fun fact that she started in front of the camera at 5 years old when she landed her first audition as Sally Brown in the Peanuts cartoons. And then, as a child actress, her star was born. She worked nonstop until her early teens, when then, as you'll hear, her path went sideways. So now, my interview with Hillary Momberger Powers.
And I turned around and I felt this ease and comfort. I was there for like an hour and a half, and I started to walk back underneath the PCH. And in the time, I get chills every time I say it, in the time that I walked, I was talking to my mother, someone had written in spray paint on this brick wall, "It's never too late to have a happy childhood." So I'm going to talk about forgiveness, which is a, you know, that's a part of not being God. So I had a bunch of years sober and I drank. And but for the grace of God, I went to this AA meeting and I ran into a friend of mine and he said to me, "Hillary, you're dying from the inside out." And I said, "You're right." And he goes, I'd like to help you. And he's a, you know, we normally guys don't help girls, but I've known him for 20 years. And he was like, you're dying. And he's Jewish, but he's having me read Sermon on the Mount. And I'm like, dude, what's up with this? Right. So I'm like, yeah, God's not there. So he said, "We're going to have to write an inventory. I want you to look at the character you bring in every situation. So I want you to look at your childhood, your teenhood, your adulthood." And this is a part of the healing process. Like, because I drive in the rearview mirror, I'm doing everything because I'm going, well, that happened before. I got to go there. That happened before. I got to go there. It's like I'm not even seeing what's in front of me because I'm so wounded inside. And I've done the John Bradshaw stuff, but it wasn't connecting because I kept judging. I hated my mother. I judged my mother. I blamed her for everything. I'm a recovering victim. It's their fault. It's that fault. It's the government's fault. It's because I did. And it's always an excuse for me to be happy. So my friend said to me, "Listen, you got to write down everything." And when you're writing down what your mother did to you, I want you to look at what you did in retaliation. What character did you become as a result of? Like my mother, I broke my arm and she said to me, "You're too expensive. It'll heal on its own. Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about." Message. And my principle is I'm not worth taking care of. I'm not worth anything. So I left home. I went back. I have to return back to mother because I'm hoping one day mommy will become the mommy that I see in the movies. And we still fight. And she pulled my hair again. She had this thing about, you know, likes pulling the hair. She was a little crazy like that. And I turned around and I broke her arm. What do you think I said to her? And I'm not proud of this. I'm not this woman anymore, so I can talk about her. I said, Mom. She said, oh my God, you got to take me to the hospital. My arm's broken. I said, Mom, we can't afford it. You know, stop crying or I'll really give you something to cry about. Now, who did I become as this character? And I'm an alcoholic. My mother was an alcoholic. I kept seeing her as different. And so I started looking at the character I had become as a result of what happened to me. I'm no different. Now I start gaining empathy. Wow. I don't think my mom wanted to leave us on freeways or not feed us or take my money or beat us all the time. I don't think she had children and said, I can't wait to abuse my kids. Oh my God, 7 of them. Let's wreck them. I don't think she did that. I had to realize that hurt people hurt people. She came from a lot of pain. And she was trying to figure herself out by having all these kids. All of a sudden, I start, wow, Mom, I get it. So I lived in Santa Monica, which is burned to shit. And it's no longer there, I hate to say it. But I lived up on the hill, and I'd have to go underneath the Pacific Coast Highway because it was so busy. They had a tunnel. And my mother's ashes, I had taken when she passed, were at the ocean. Say, got to keep my mom, your enemy's close to you. So I stuck him down the street from my house. That's right. Who's in power now? I'm control, right? So I go down. He says, now you got to go down there and make amends to her for the thing that you didn't return. And I want you to really connect with her. So she's dead. And I'm like, she's dead. How can that happen? I want you to go and pray. So I'm praying to this God. I don't really know if he's there. I don't know if he loves me. And I go ahead and I walk underneath the freeway. I mean, the Pacific Coast Highway. It's a tunnel. Sit at the beach. I go over this list and I start telling my mom all the things I did to her as a result of what happened. And I owned my stuff. And I said, Mom, I blamed you for every bad thing in my life, but actually I created 50% of it. Like, I'm the common denominator. And then I said, actually, I did all of it because I really know that I could have been a different character, but I chose to be what I saw. And then I said, Mom, you know, I know you didn't want to hurt me. And I felt this relief. I prayed first. I said, God, I don't know if you're here, but help me feel something so I can heal. And I felt this sense of relief. And I felt like, wow, my mom probably did love me. She just was incapable of it. Poor woman. God, she died homeless downtown LA, drunk. Did she want it? Did I want to become an alcoholic? Did I want to become broke? Did I want to sell my body? Did I want to get raped? No, but I'm placing myself in positions to be taken advantage over and over and over. I'm not a victim. I'm a volunteer. And it all came on me and I was like, wow. And that was the first day, and it was 23 years ago. Yeah, because I just turned 24 years sober again. And thank you, Lord. And all of a sudden, I felt this ease and comfort. And I thought, wow, I actually love my mother. Thank you, Mom. I wouldn't be who I am. God, if I would have had an easy life, I wouldn't be Hillary. And how many people love me? How strong I am. I can figure anything out because I needed to. And I turned around and I felt this ease and comfort. I was there for like an hour and a half. And I started to walk back underneath the PCH. And in the time, I get chills every time I say it. In the time that I walked, I was talking to my mother. Someone had written in spray paint on this brick wall, it's never too late to have a happy childhood.
that's a wrap on my conversation with Hillary, and make sure not to miss the Easter egg at the end of the outro, where Hillary gives me some great advice and we just tie a few more beautiful bows onto the end of this conversation. I need to thank her for coming onto the show and speaking with such candor, for being so open and vulnerable, because I do think and I do believe that she is an example of someone that we can look up to when we have hard times in our lives, when we reflect back on challenging times that have happened to us, we can look to Hillary and say, hey, we can rise as well. There's no doubt in my mind that her connection to Source, to Spirit, to God has made all the difference. And so I ask you this week, what is your connection to this great big world of ours? And how do you connect to that ineffable presence? I think we need that support. We need the knowledge that we're held in those arms, in those spaces, in that great cosmic energy, however you want to describe it. But Hillary definitely reminded me that we are all seen at each and every moment. Now here's the part of the outro where I ask you for ratings and reviews. If you like what you've heard, I would so appreciate you leaving a rating or writing a little review. They help other people find this little labor of love of mine. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Hillary. Rise, rise, and then rise some more. I mean, you don't get to an older age. I mean, even to your 30s or 40s, you don't get to that age without suffering some slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. And sometimes those slings and arrows can be incredibly painful, emotionally painful, physically painful, and hurt our very souls. But Hillary knows that that ineffable presence, that great big cosmic energy, whatever you choose to call it, has our backs and holds us and is there for us always when we want to start a conversation or just ask for help. So your task this week in being like Hillary is to remember that presence, remember that energy that holds each and every one of us and reminds us always and eternally to rise.